live back on the radio, internet radio through BBS. Thank you, BBS, for making this possible. Happy Labor Day 2019. September 2nd. Thank you all for being here. We have Wanda is here and more people have joined in. Welcome to you all. Please say a name and location.
Hi, this is Cecil, the C6D Serpent from sunshiny Seattle.
Welcome to you, Cecil.
Hi, Cecil.
Hello, Cecil.
Hi, guys.
Well,
Don in Northern Ohio.
Too, right?
Hi, everybody. Hi,
Hello.
Ice, I want.
Welcome to the call, Dan. Don.
Hello, Don.
Hi, Wanda.
Did you get my picture I sent you, Don?
A picture?
Yeah.
I didn't notice a picture. I'll have
okay.
to look, check your email again.
I guess maybe it didn't send.
It might have. I haven't looked at my emails lately. Sometimes I forget to look at them for like days.
I got low service, so
I'll check later.
Here. I might not be on the call very long.
Okay.
All right.
I have to go back out and haul some more bales till it gets dark again.
All right. You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, it's harvest time. You know, I wanted to ask her where the Tree of Life is, actually, and also if we actually have reptilian, if we are controlled and have reptilian brains or not.
That's for Wednesday.
Controlled by reptilian brains in which we have, supposedly.
You're talking about a question for Wednesday?
Are those for Wednesday? Okay.
Yeah.
Supposedly, we do have that reptilian brain, that very the simple part of the brain. Is what they call
yeah.
that.
Have you ever listened to David Icke?
I welcome the next caller. Can you say a name and location?
Dr. Hart in Hampton, Virginia.
Welcome, Dr. Hart.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Hello,
hey.
Dr. Hart.
Hey there.
I've been too busy to call you. I should make time to call you. Maybe I'd feel better.
Who's this?
Wanda.
Oh, hey, Wanda.
Well, I can hear the tractor coming. I'm going to probably have to try to go on the other line, but there's hardly any feed or service.
Okay. You hear the tractor coming, huh?
Yeah, he just...
Not the airplane.
Yeah, we just finished over in one field, and I have the trailer full of bales in front of the house here waiting
yeah,
for
him. Yeah. Yeah, down here, you just hear the jets go over.
Yeah, well, you hear the helicopters come by when they check the pipelines all the time.
Yeah.
Otherwise, well, here, the semi's going by.
Yeah, we're right here at Langley Field, and I mean, they got the jets just flying day and night, you know.
Yeah.
I got them coming over my place about every 2 minutes in certain hours of the day.
Yeah, I know. It's the same thing here. In fact, I had a guy from New Jersey. He said, damn, man, damn airplanes are sure flying. He said, you don't hear them up in New Jersey like that. So I know it.
Welcome to the next caller. Please say a name and location.
Roger in Austin.
Good evening, Roger.
Roger.
Welcome.
Roger.
Good evening, Heiss.
Hello, Roger Dodger.
Howdy.
Roger, you ever play that game, Roger Dodger?
No. Should I?
When we were kids, we used to play, the teachers would have this game we'd play, and we'd all have to yell, we call Roger, we call Roger, we call Roger Dodger over, and then whoever had the ball would throw it, and you'd all have to trade lines, and whoever got hit by the ball was out.
We had two more people join in. Welcome to you. Please say a name and location.
Nick from Perth, Western Australia. Hello, everybody.
Hello, Nick. Welcome.
Hi, Nick.
Hi, Nick.
Hey, guys.
Whoever had the ball was called Roger Dodger.
Sounds a lot like right.
Another person was here. The other person, please say name or location.
Hi, hi everyone. It's Prudy.
Hi, Prudy. Hey, welcome.
Thank you.
Hello, Prudy.
Hello.
Does anybody remember?
How are we all today? What's happening? What are we talking about?
We're waiting for you.
Me? I'm fine. Weather's been a bit rough the last few days, but it's getting better. It's getting warmer. And I'm good. I'm fine. Life is good.
Good.
All right.
We got a big hurricane here on the East Coast, Florida.
No way.
Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, everybody. It's Janine from Salt Lake City.
Welcome to you, Janine.
Hi,
Janine.
Thank you.
Hello, Janine.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Do you remember on yesterday's call, remember what Terry was channeling about the pineal gland?
What was she saying?
That's what I'm asking. I'm trying to remember. I can't remember, but it was interesting. But I can't, unless I take notes, I can't remember because she'll say something interesting a minute later, and I forget
me
whatever
too.
The earlier.
I don't remember a thing either, John.
No, neither do I.
Subconscious mind somewhere.
Yeah.
That's what they say.
That doesn't help me much.
I know, it doesn't help me much either. I was
subconscious
thinking about it too last night. I was wondering, what was that again?
Subconscious mind means gone.
Oh, we could ask her again today to remind us.
That's why they call it subconscious.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite sub, eh? In the fourth dimension, subconscious.
That sounds right.
The calls every day, that's the whole planet healing, yeah?
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah. How's the new format going? Good?
Yeah. It's fine. Cool. You've been on some of those, you know, it's same all the time.
Although I think Wynn was changing it the last couple of calls, he was changing it, wasn't it, to have their new
he just changed the time. He wanted to start earlier. He just changed the time a little bit. To start earlier. But doesn't always start earlier anyway, so didn't change much.
What's this does anyone remember has anyone asked the Elohim and that about Jesus and the Bible and what they think of that?
Yeah, there's been a number of calls and questions about that. One of the main things is Wynn discovered that he thinks that Jesus was talking to what he called the Father, and that was actually with the Ra group, I think, according to the channeling. So that's pretty interesting.
And we've had a lot of good calls with Dr. Friedman in the past dedicated to Yeshua, Jesus.
Right.
Okay. And so they're saying that Jesus, that's the Ra group, or that's his energy, or is that what you were saying?
That's what
I think
Wynn figured out.
Right.
Okay. There you go.
It sounds like it. I mean, channelings from the Ra group are pretty much the same kind of law of one kind of ideas that Jesus was putting out.
Been getting a lot of guidance lately to look into Jesus and look into his teachings and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Terry in Sedona.
Hello, Terry. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi,
Terry.
Hello.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Terry. Hi, Terry. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Terry, do you remember in yesterday's channeling, you said we're talking something about the pineal gland. Do you happen to remember what you were saying about that?
Not really.
Okay. We can all form a club.
Nick,
one time I asked on a Wednesday, I asked a question, what was the meaning of the kingdom of God is within? And Terry channeled a really interesting answer. I can't remember any of it to relate to you, but I remember it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I can't remember it either.
Yeah, you have an excuse. You got an excuse.
What's my excuse?
You're in trance.
Yeah, like this. That's right. Like I've been getting really guided towards. I've been listening to the books, the four books in the Bible, like the of Matthew, Mark, John, and Luke. Listening to it on audiobook at work here and that, and just trying to, because I've been getting really guided into it a lot, and I was just wondering what their thoughts were.
Are you familiar with Dr. Terry Friedman? Yeah. You heard of him? He used to be on the call for a while. He wrote a book called that Wynn was selling. It was called The Man Who Walked with Jesus, and we think was the reincarnation of Matthew, the disciple Matthew. So you might find that interesting.
It's a very interesting book.
Yeah, I'll have a look. The Man Who Walked with Jesus.
Yeah, check it out online. Wynn might have some copies left.
Yeah.
And then there's a guy, Demetrius, who I think he was doing Saturday calls on that book for years. He might still be doing it.
Yeah.
I think that's where I got the reference to the through alien eyes that I've been reading. Very exciting stuff. Heck with it. Boy, I just love it.
Yeah, it's interesting what you told us about it.
Welcome to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hey, it's Brian from Michigan. I got to mute myself because I'm on a bicycle, but I'll be on the line.
Right.
All right, Brian. Drive safe.
Noisy bicycle.
Well, noisy other noisy.
Oil your chain.
Oh, yeah. We'll work on that. Thanks, Don.
Drive careful.
Thank you.
Do you have an electric assist bicycle?
Oh, that would be great. But no, I have a Trek 820. She's about 25 years old.
I got an old, I can't remember the name now.
A Whizzer.
What's that, Prudy?
A Whizzer?
A Trek.
A Trek. Well, I had a Whizzer, and it was a bicycle with a motor on it.
They're cool.
They're really cool. I got a modern.
How old were you when you had that?
About 5 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, it was all pimped out like a Harley. It was pretty cool.
Is it an antique one, or are they still making those again?
It was a remake. It was safer.
We had somebody else join in. Welcome. Please say name and location.
Wynn.
Hey, Wynn.
Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Welcome to the call, Wynn.
Thank you.
Hey, Wynn.
Don, is yours an older one, an antique?
My what?
Your Whizzer Trek? Did you say?
I don't have a Whizzer. Brian's Trek. I have I just remembered the Gary Fisher Pro Caliper, 1991. An oldie.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's nice.
I had an old bike in 1949.
If you kept it, you could have sold it and retired.
Great.
Yeah. That's some money.
Okay.
Sometimes
you
can find a real one in a farmer's barn. They're worth about $10.
Hi.
Yes. Yes.
Let's get started. I'm going to. Okay.
All right. I'm going to mute the phone line.
Muted.
Second.
The recording has started.
This is September 2nd, 2019. Wynn and Terry in Sedona. Everybody everywhere. And I'm going to do a replay tonight. I want to get right into it so it doesn't cut too short. Let's see if it'll work. Now, this is titled Great Elohim Session for Whole Planet Healing. Okay? And let's see what comes up.
Hello, everyone in PBS land. All those lucky that have computers.
Right. What's the most important thing that happened in your life in the last 7 days? You're helping me with my introductory BS, but actually, this isn't BS.
But I've made some progress in my personal life.
Progress?
Progress.
I'm going to move it forward into the meat of the call so we don't run out of time on this. You mean in it feels like you have. This is Winfrey, and this is a Monday night conference call where anything can happen. You guys that are listening to the recording, Miss Temperance announcing that she was giggling all week.
Well,
since the way they would describe it is that we're trapped in time. I don't know if you remember that Joni Mitchell song called, I think it was called The Circle Game. And it had a line, trapped in time. I remember that years ago, and I said, I wonder what she meant by being trapped in time. So it means our days go slow, they go fast. We watch the clock, we have patterns, we go to sleep, we see this person, and it's all in time. And here are these group souls that are outside of time observing us. But they say they observe us. You know, when you hear this for the first time, we could all be delusional and schizophrenic, and maybe there's no such thing as group souls. Except they do miracles. They do phenomena. Things happen. As a result, everything is one. And I've come to integrate that and see from my own little small human perspective how that works. It's kind of like most of us may have had an experience of oneness in our life. And so, as humans, we have the challenge of how do we lift above what you could call the lower base aspects of ourselves and reach into the highest aspect of the collective. Because by doing that, we're not only creating a vote for ourselves, we're creating a vote for all of humanity. And when enough people reach high enough and hold that energy, then the paradigm starts to change for other people. So my particular goal in the work I'm doing is A, create an opportunity for people who would want to reach like this to succeed and be able to transform their life at the mundane level and start to experience life from the collective, a higher level of the collective. And actually, what I have learned is that a human consciousness is virtually unlimited in its ability to expand. And it can expand even beyond the collective. Our energies can expand into the cosmos. Why do you think astrology works? Astrology is a bunch of energies that are connected with planets that impact humans. And I personally, at one time in my life, studied astrology. I had a friend who was an astrologer, and at the time, I was very linear, and I didn't believe it could work. And through her, I started to learn all of the signs of all the people that were in our life. And the amazing thing that happened would be, occasionally, I would meet somebody new, and I'd feel a connection with someone who I'd already met, and I'd say, "You're an Aquarius? Are you a Gemini?" And I started to get a surprising number of correct guesses on their signs, far beyond what would be statistically possible. And I said, geez, this really works. And I couldn't figure out how it could work because I said, how can a bunch of planets, you know, millions of miles away, be affecting a human, affecting me, affecting that guy? And I knew it worked, but I couldn't figure out how. Now I think I vaguely or, you know, approximately get the intuitive feel that a human energy is not limited to this plane, nor is a planet's energy limited to the physical location of that planet. Space is just part of the illusion of being in this realm. But in truth, in the highest truth, there's no space or time. And that there's a melding and blending of all kinds of energies that are the precursor to being and having a human experience. And so each of us has the potential to expand far, far greater than we would even, in our remotest dreams or wildest dreams, believe possible. Now, most of us are so contracted into our human experience that we have never even considered this as a possibility. And most of us, all of us, to some extent, have limiting belief patterns that, because we believe something is true, we have to live within the reality of our belief pattern. And some of our belief patterns are very conscious and in our mind. They're based on our schooling. They're based on watching TV. And other patterns are very subconscious. They're patterns that have been ingrained into our system, and we don't even realize they're there. So part of the challenge for a human who would choose to wish to expand is to start to learn what their belief patterns are, both conscious and unconscious, and start to put them into neutral. And they're not easy to get over. That's why sometimes people get attracted to this work. And maybe it takes a year or two before it really, really connects, and their life is suddenly different. The fact that we're communicating with these very high group souls, and even when you make a connection vibrationally with them, which during the course of this call, I hope we will be able to do. In fact, Terry, I don't know if Terry's on the line. If you're on the line, Terry, just say hello so I know you're there. Terry is a person who has been in my life for many years and ended up being able to channel the voice of this energy. Are you there, Terry?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, good. Hi. Good. Super duper.
Hi.
So, in the course of this call, we're going to bring their energy in and maybe ask a few questions. But just to give the full picture, I know that, and I've watched this, people sometimes come into this work, and it's fairly awesome that we're communicating to them, and it's fairly unusual to communicate with them in such a public way and allow everyone to share in these communications. And it's something both Terry and I had to develop the confidence in over quite a period of time, because once you allow a consciousness to work with you and speak through you, there's the concern that, wow, what if they say something wrong? What if they mislead people? Once we say it, we can't take it back. And so both of us were very, very cautious and apprehensive about doing this in a public way. So we built it up gradually, and thus far, it's been, I don't see any times, I can't put my finger on any times where I had any doubt that it was positive. And with the process of channeling, that's the word used for bringing through these voices from other dimensions, there are many channels that don't actually bring through the voice of group soul energies, because there are many, 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 many energies and beings and entities in other realms. And by far, most of them, or many of them, are individual souls like you and me who are discarnate, and maybe they're wiser than us. Maybe they have a more higher vantage point, but it's still a singular consciousness that's communicating through somebody. When you have a group soul consciousness, and the way they explain it is when we ask a question, there's a whole team formulating an answer. And keep in mind, they're outside of time, so they can come up with an answer very quick, and then they feed the answer to the person who's the channel. So this is like a, how do you know that's true? I've always been my worst skeptic and critic, and that's probably one of the reasons that I can present this in a public way, because I actually don't want you to believe it's true. I just want you to be neutral and evaluate it over time. In particular, read the stories. Read my book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Casey. Read Questions and Answers with the Elohim. Sign up for messageaday.net and study it over a period of time and see if it makes sense to you. Because one of the aspects of these group soul energies is they're very wise and they're very caring, and they really, I've come to the conclusion in observing them over a long period of time, that their desire to contribute to us is very real. There's no agenda. They don't want you to believe. They don't want you to follow. They want to contribute. And there's two ways they can contribute. One way is via their wisdom, because they both group souls, and the names that I use are the Elohim group and the Ra group. Both group souls have had a long time either being in bodies or watching bodies and watching the challenges of being in a body. And so they have wisdom to impart that you can apply to your own life and help change or lift some of the belief patterns that have been contracting you and some of the past life patterns that are subconscious or present life patterns that are subconscious. And the other thing that they can do is they can connect with you vibrationally. And they'll only do that if you're open to it, if you'll ask. And this is where you have to study them a bit to decide if you trust them. Now, some people come on this line and they're already open. They've already made vibrational connection in their own life. Maybe they were advanced soul. Maybe they are a new soul that's come in here to help uplift people. But for whatever reason, they don't have to go through all this evaluation process that says, do I trust this? But most people do have to go through that because they don't. And they should go through it. They should go through it because they have to be able to trust what they're letting into their system, especially knowing that it's possible to let a negative thing into your system, a negative source that could have actually damaging effects on your own growth and your own consciousness. So it's a new kind of a game. One, if you recall earlier, I said the entire universe is one. It's one energy subdivided in timelines and physicalities. And so the highest truth, and one of the group souls calls this the law of one. The highest truth is to live with inside the reality that everything is one. And so when you encompass that as a human, you will walk around and see everyone as part of yourself. Even though you have a separate body, separate bank account, separate lovers, it's all one, and every moment is a reconstruction of the entire universe into your personal hologram. And usually when that happens for someone, other people look at them for guidance, for inspiration, and perhaps they become elevated as a teacher of some sort because they can help other people have that experience. And when we can actually make an ongoing experience with these group souls, and we can hold the energy of that, then you might call that God realization, or you're operating down here with a far degree, higher degree of awareness and perception, and ability to manifest, because manifestation in this realm, you know, Jesus talked about the sweat of the brow or grace. And this is exactly, to my understanding, what he meant, because sweat of the brow means you work so many hours, you make so much money, and it's like there's an exchange. You give something and you get something. And grace means things manifest freely, and they come with no strings attached. And when there's grace, in one of the channelings we did, because we did a lot of questions and answers about that, the Elohim group soul, which is way, way at the top, can meet us through all these matrices. And they can blend with us, and we can blend with them. And so now, when we ask for something to happen, instead of just our small human conscious asking for it, we have all the spark plugs of them attached to us. Now, of course, they have a criteria, and the criteria is they don't violate free will, which means if there's some really bad guy down here that's operating and fairly self-serving, they have to allow that person to go through that experience. So they don't violate free will. So if you ask for something, then it's going to cause even what might be a negative being to be violated. They won't do that. And they also operate for the highest good of all concerned. And what that means is that when we ask for something, we don't know, as humans, all the implications of what it would mean if what we asked for came about. For example, maybe somebody is sick so that they can work through a karmic pattern. And by taking the disease away from them, they would miss the opportunity to clear that karmic pattern. And we can't see that, but they can. So when somebody asks for healing and nothing happens, that may be the cause. I remember reading, sometimes people get sick so that someone else can take care of them, and they actually are giving the person a blessing who takes care of them and an opportunity to evolve themselves through the service they're doing through taking care of that person who's sick. In fact, there's a person in my life right now who is very proud, and he's going through stuff. And usually he won't accept anything from anyone. And maybe for the first time, he's being open to accept and receive something because he's feeling a little helpless. And I'm in the position to give it in a unconditional way with no strings attached. And so it's a blessing for me because I really, really like this guy. And it's really hard to connect with them. So that's an example of maybe on the higher realm, something is occurring so that I can have that opportunity to give, and he can have that opportunity to receive. And that maybe when we both do that, it'll clear the path for a healing in him so that the karma doesn't need to be stuck there. Now, it may not be my karma with him, it may be his karma with himself of not being able to receive, and my karma with myself not having the opportunity to give unconditionally. Because I know when I give unconditionally, not out of a sense of duty, but unconditionally, there's a reward that comes inside of me that just is really joyful. And that's a good indicator when that occurs, because you're not really giving to someone else. You're giving to yourself, and you can experience it. And it's not like out of a sense of duty. Sometimes people get the idea of charity, and not that charity is bad, charity is good. But oftentimes there's a sense of duty involved with it. Sometimes there's a sense of public recognition, like people will think I'm really good if I give lots of money to this charity. But the real most truthful giving is giving which comes with no strings attached, no obligation attached, and it brings joy as you do it. And that's how you can tell if you're doing it, because it'll bring joy. If it's not bringing joy, it may not be giving out of grace. It may be giving from some other lower level. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring in their energies. And if you're listening for the first time and you feel comfortable with this idea, you might shut your eyes and just go along with my little meditation. And then I'll turn it over to Terry. And what I believe is the same energy that you will feel is the same energy that will produce words through Terry, and then we'll have a chat with them. And so let's just close our eyes and imagine that our bodies are connected to, I use the word hologram or matrix, or energy. And that, unlike our physical bodies, where you have to pick yourself up and move your legs to get from one place to another, our energies respond to our intention. So let's, for a moment, imagine that everyone on this line, everyone hearing my voice, everyone who listens to this on the replay line, because the energies will be there, even if they're not here, because there's no time in the realms we're going to, that we can combine our energies. We can touch each other's energies. We can, your separate energy can touch my energy, and it can touch those people who are listening just by our intention. If we intend it, it can be. And we can now, some of you will feel a shift. Some people feel goosebumps. Some people feel a tingling through their body. Some people see light. Even though your eyes are shut, there's a kind of light around your forehead and your temple. And there's an energy leaving the top of your head. And that's where the energy leaves to start this higher level of combination or integration. And when we do this, I believe this is the same process that Jesus called communion. Although we're not doing this with any religiousness attached to it, we're actually doing it in real time, as a real time exercise with no belief system. So when our energies are all combined, we become visible. This is how they've described it to me, and it took me a while of checking this out to say, I think this is true, I think this is the way it works. We become visible because our energies combined create some kind of indicator on the other side of the collective consciousness of humanity. If you're still within the contraction of the collective, you may have trouble doing this. So if you can let go for a moment, let go of everything, and now our energies are penetrating through what we call the veil. And the veil is where we are kind of locked within this realm and we can't perceive or see through it. And we still can't see through it. But if you apply our intuitions, you may be able to feel this. And so we have these two group souls that can now see. And of course, see is a human word because I don't know see is their word. They can see this creation of energy that we're doing, and they can join with it. It's like we're creating an antenna of consciousness, and they join their energies with ours because we have the same intent that they have, and that is to uplift this realm and to bring these energies into this realm and lift spirit, the spirits of people in this realm. If enough people could do this, our entire planet would shift. It's kind of like if you go into a room where a bunch of people are doing this, a spiritual gathering or even a religious institution or a Sufi dance, you can feel the vibration there. And it's infectious. You don't even have to understand it. It becomes infectious. Some of you, some of people have tuned into these calls, and when they hang up, they suddenly change the energies around them, and the relationships with the families change. Suddenly there's a new energy present. They don't have to understand it. They feel the energy. So now, we're taking this energy that we're creating and joining with these groups. And we can, through our intention, send it places. And we do this every Sunday morning on our grid healing. And if you're feeling the energy, please join the grid healing Sunday morning. And the way to find out how to get the phone number is all you have to do is send an email to sunday@messageaday.net, and you'll get an email back that gives the phone number and the time. But this is what we do for an hour and a half every Sunday morning, bringing these energies together and sending them around the planet for healing and transformation. But right now, let's just take these energies and bring them back and tap into them and bring them into our own bodies and do a little healing on ourselves. Feel the energy as it moves back. And now you're tapped into a huge source and coming through back through the top of your head, through your chest, through your whole acupuncture meridian system, and releasing the blocks and the traumas and the hurts and the pains and even the diseases that are held in your system. And we can ask and ask silently for the help of these group soul energies to work with us and release those things. Help us release. You know, they don't do it by themselves. It's a co-creation. They're reaching down and we're reaching up. And that gives them the energetic access to become one with you, and you become one with them. And as I understand it, it is that oneness, the feeling of oneness, that gives the permission for the co-creation where they can help heal you as part of themselves, and you can draw on them as a greater part of yourself. And I'll take a moment of silence, and please ask where you need help in any area of your life in your own silence. Okay. So I think that's one of the most important things we do. There's two things we do that I do, and I see that I'm doing it. I am creating enough reality so that your conscious mind, in your discerning conscious mind, your skeptical conscious mind, particularly if you're studying my materials, might say, this is a new way of looking at things. And then we're making a connection where when you're open, you can experience it. And you can feel the energy of it. And now, I'm going to turn it over to Terry, and they can address us. And I believe it's been very consistent that this voice that's speaking to us is the same voice that is attached to the energy that you're experiencing. Are you there, Terry?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Okay. They already started. We'll start again. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. The energy as we extend into your realm and throughout the space of the listening audience, making connection to those that desire it in the audience. We are making connections at this time. We are mindful and experience in the connection with the individuals on this line. The love and gentleness of the connection and the very essence of the treasure that you each are. It is a very special opportunity to connect and to make ourselves available. We are unseen companions from our realm to your realm. We put down a ribbon of connection which brings energy to an essence to our realm and are happy to greet you. Does anyone have a question?
If someone has a question, you can push star 6. How about if I ask the question?
Yes.
So, I was speaking from my own human experience of having these ongoing conversations and learning how it all works. And I think it's fascinating to have you share, when we create this group energy amongst us, and there's so many humans on Earth, could you explain how you experience that group energy? I don't think you have eyes, so how is it perceived by you?
We perceive it with joy from our realm. The experience of joy and recognition of the connection fills our energy hearts, so to speak, as we do not have bodies, with joy at the connection, for it has been so long without connection, and the majority of Earth people have forgotten that we are there, and we experience this lack of connection as sort of a hole in our life, if we can call it our life, our experience. We look at the former lack of connection as if children have left home and have forgotten about the individuals that are left on the higher plane, and we miss a connection. It is as if we are there and ready to connect, but there is no connection. There is just an inward lookingness and experience and an exterior person-to-person experience with out, touching or coming up to or experiencing our frequency when we connect. It is a great joy and a fulfillment of our capacity to love and to connect. It is like a family that has come back together, and the lost or misplaced individuals in the family have come into contact. It is very fulfilling for us to experience contact.
Thank you very much. I think it's time to say goodbye to our BBS audience. If anyone tuned in and want to get a daily support of this, please go to messageaday.net and sign up, and it's free, and it helps keep the connection going. And on that note, we'll say goodbye to BBS, and for those of us on the line, we'll just continue with
unmuted.
A little bit of a silent meditation and just help. And just continue holding the energy so we can remember it.
Goodbye.
Thank you all.
All.
That was a good call, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a good one.
Good one. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you from Seattle.
See you over. See you over.
Thank you,
Planet Healing.